But first, to find out more about how the census got started, we chatted to Jesse Ossabell from the Sloan Foundation about a very big idea he had a little over 10 years ago.
On July 2nd, 1996, a deep sea expert named Fred Grassley walked into my office and said, "I think something big needs to be done for marine life, for marine biodiversity." And he said, obviously, that's because overfishing and pollution and problems, but also because so much remains to be discovered. He had published an estimate that there might be between 1 and 10 million forms of marine life. And so I said, "Well, Fred, give me a list of what's actually known today." And he was embarrassed. He said, "I can't give you a list. We don't have one." And I said, "But people have been doing marine biology since Aristotle for 2,500 years. How can you not have a list? There must be a textbook with a list of all the forms of marine life." And he said, "Well, you know, the sponge people have their lists, but they don't always agree with the corals people, and they don't talk to the anchovy people, and the anchovy people don't like the tuna people, and the tuna people don't like the shark people because sharks sometimes attack tuna." So he said, "You know, there's a lot of information, but it's just not organized, and most of the ocean's unexplored." So we talked for about an hour and a half, and at the end of the hour and a half, we had the idea to have a big observational program in which we'd have hundreds of expeditions and really try to get better, real information, observations. And Fred also had the basic idea. He said, "But we have to have a common database. So the anchovy people and the sea star people and the herring people can't all just go off in different directions. So we really want to know everything." So we both thought the idea was wonderful, and we went off in separate directions and started talking to our colleagues about it. And most people said the idea is wonderful, and most people said the idea is crazy. Some of them said it's romantic. Some of them said it's impossible. But no one said, "Don't try to do it." You know, it made people somehow smile or laugh that we wanted to count all the fish in the sea. So we had 3 whole years of feasibility studies during 1997, 98, 99. So we did do our homework. We had lots of consultations. We wanted to make sure that the technology was powerful enough. We wanted to make sure that people would cooperate. We wanted to make sure that if we finished, as we've now done, that people would feel it was worthwhile. So we had 3 years of feasibility studies, at the end of which more people felt it was a great idea, and some people still thought it was crazy. But fortunately, the people with the checkbook at the Sloan Foundation said, "Well, we should take risks. That's why we're here. You know, we're not like a federal government agency. We should take a chance on something." And the president and the trustees of Sloan said, "We will support this program for 10 years as long as it meets certain milestones." And that's very important, because if you talk to lots of naked scientists, you know that it's hard to get clothing for more than 1 year, 2 years at a time. It's very hard to get long-term commitments. So the fact that one organization, even though it couldn't provide all the money, in the end it provided, you know, 12% of the money, but it said, we will be steady, you know, we'll provide basic support every year so you all can talk to each other, coordinate, make your plans, and if you do well each year, you know, we're just going to keep supporting you until you finish in 2010. And so in 2000, we started organizing. And Fred's view was we should get in the water quickly. We'd already had some years of feasibility studies, but he said, you know, many programs, you write a plan, and then you write a plan, and people spend 10 years planning and never get in the water or launch the rocket. And so Fred said, let's start doing things right away, showing the kinds of work that we think should be done, and then try to attract people to the project by example, rather than by just inviting people to write documents. And so we started right away immediately in 2000-2001 with some expeditions in which we tried to again show that we were interested not only in the squid but lots, you know, but we were interested in what lived on the bottom, and we were interested in seabirds and all of the different forms of marine life. And people became enthusiastic. In the end, almost everyone participated, even though, you know, we never went out and dragged people in, but people, it was a kind of voluntary Noah's Ark. So the abyssal plains people and the seamounts people and the reefs people, they just kind of started to come to us and say, well, we want to be part of this. And it grew, and by 2004, 2005, we basically had all the different habitats and the different species represented.
And I can see by the grin on your face that it's a clearly a wonderful experience for you to be here, stood here 10 years down the line with your crazy, romantic, impossible project finished.
It's been the best experience of my professional career, maybe the best experience of my life. I feel a little bit like an Olympic diver who chose a very hard dive, and then, you know, you do the triple somersault and it worked. So I have a little bit of that feeling today. So I'm very proud. And what we've, of course, I'm proud because what we've done is important also because, you know, it's not easy being a fish these days. And we should be a lot more sensitive about how we treat life in the oceans.
Well, I certainly think it's really inspiring to hear how Jesse and Fred Grassley turned their eccentric idea into reality. It just goes to show that no ideas are too big, even when it comes to counting all the fish and everything else in the sea.